Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, our guest, we will be welcoming Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle to our show today. Now, she is the author of a new book, Our Life, Our Sweetness, Our Hope. It's a Jubilee Pilgrims of Hope with Mary. And this beautiful book is available at EWTN Religious Catalog. You can go out to EWTNRC.com. Donna Marie is here today, and she's going to speak about who Mary is, her amazing, rich, and holy life, her apparitions, as well as what the saints and the popes have taught about her. So you can visit her website, which is DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. And when you see Donna's beautiful face, you'll go, oh, I know her, because you've seen her on EWTN before. And we also, a long time ago, back in the day when we did radio, we had Donna on our radio show a long time ago. Then we started doing television, and here we are. Yeah. Well, we pray that you continue to be preparing yourself for Pentecost. Hopefully you're doing the novena. You could go out to ewtn.com/Pentecost for the ebook. Every day EWTN is doing the novena. You get to pray that with Father Joseph live, as he's doing that every day before the Mass, so that you are preparing. Maybe you have an opportunity this week to go to adoration. Maybe you have an opportunity to go to confession. Examine the fruit of your life. Is the fruit rotten? Are you joyless? Are you hopeless? Are you not full of faith? Is your light dim? Well, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and set your heart on fire. You say, well, you don't understand the trials and tribulations I'm going through. That's the time Jesus wants to come up alongside you and aid you and give you the superpowers that he wants to assist you with in the power of the sacraments and by the blessing of his presence and power in your life.
Our life, our sweetness, and our hope, that's Our Lady. And this is for the Jubilee Pilgrims of Hope with Mary. That's what this year is all about. May the Holy Spirit fill you with all hope and peace and believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, and she's the author of a beautiful book, Our Life, Our Sweetness, and Our Hope, A Jubilee Pilgrims of Hope with Mary. You can go out to her website, DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com. Well, Donna, we are excited to have you with us today. We want you first to, our family, I'm sure they're very familiar with your beautiful face, and as soon as they hear your voice, they'll go, oh, I recognize her. Tell our family, give us an update on how you are and what's going on in your life, and then also tell our family why you decided to write this beautiful book.
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for having me back on again with guys. It's just such a blessing to be back here with you. What's going on in my life? I'm very grateful to God for everything, and just came back from Wisconsin, where the bishop, Bishop Ricken, invited me. He read this book, actually, and wanted me to present there on Mary. So it was a beautiful shrine, Our Lady of Champion, where Mary appeared.
Yes. So one of your apparitions in here.
Yes, it's in this book. There's a whole chapter on it. So that was really amazing to do that just recently. And just a little background. I think people know me, but I have 5 children, 2 grandchildren, and I've been busy with the work, you know, whatever our Lord has called me to, with the talks, the writing, the books, the appearances and things like that. But you know, it's important to know, I never expected to be doing this, but our Lord pushes us forth, doesn't he? He just, you know, raises the lowly and gives you the message and has you, you know, move out of your comfort zone to bring his word, to bring, to share his mother, you know, with the world. So there's so much I could say about that, but sort of in a nutshell, that's me. That's me.
Well, you're somebody that has really experienced the things that you talk about. Your life story is quite amazing, and God has given you, you know, hope in the midst of various forms of despair almost.
Right.
And, you know, I think you do what you do. You know why you do what you do, but I look at you and say, people that get touched like that, they want to tell other people that there really is hope in Jesus Christ and the resources of the church and the sacraments of the church. And this is how my life was so turned around. And how I'm sustained.
Right.
That's why I think you do what you do. But anyway, you may not say that, but I said, you know, you're compelled to share.
Yeah, that's true. I think we all are. And I'll get back to Joy's question about why, you know, I wrote the book, but to answer what you're asking there, you know, and it's not easy to share of yourself, especially if it's the dark stuff that you want to just like keep it back there or put it back, push it down. Who wants to hear about, you know, dark things that have happened? I've had a crazy, crooked path in life, and I've detailed it in my memoir, The Kiss of Jesus. I alluded to it a little bit at the beginning of this book in the introduction, just to allow, you know, just to be able to express that these things, you know, we all have sufferings. We all have these things in our life. Sometimes it's just life-threatening or just terrible, horrendous kind of suffering, or little pinpricks and things we go through. But, you know, I learned along the way that our Lord pushes us forth to share of ourselves.
Right.
See, I always wanted to give glory to God. Don't bring attention to me, you know, so I was shy about that kind of thing. But then experiencing those things for a while, I did push them down or keep them in the back. Yeah. But praying and, you know, praying for God's mercy, his love, his help to get me through, you know, being held in captivity, all crazy things. And he did, and he did. And then, you know, I was busy raising my family and everything, but there came a time when our Lord wanted me to share of those kind, you know, first other books, we'll get to that, but then eventually, you know, expressing that we need to share, and then that could give so much hope to someone, because someone actually said to me, wow, you were a single mother, because she was a single mother of one child, and I said, you know, I was a single mother of five children, and God got me through. And not only that, he showed me so much joy in it.
Yes.
And she said, oh, if you could do it, I could do it too. So I saw how joy jumped right into her heart. And so I realized, and hope, she had so much hope that she could do it. So so that's why.
Well, I love in your preface, you do go through some of those very difficult things in your life. I just love what you say, you name them, and you say, I still have hope. 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 And that's, we don't deny the mountains and obstacles and difficult things, but hopefully your testimony to that will help other people who are feeling hopeless to say, I'm just going to begin to confess, I still have hope because my hope is Jesus Christ.
I
hope in him.
And more importantly, you know, than seeing me get through it, to see that Our Lady is Our Lady of Hope, you know, Mary is gives us so much hope, and that's what I tried to weave, you know, through the book. I was very honored when Marian Press, one of my publishers, asked me to write something for the Jubilee Year of Hope and to have it be on Mary. I love Mary so much, so it was like, yes. But when I write a book, it's just amazing things happen during the journey of it, you know, how things unfold, stories, everything. So I began it with, you know, the life of Mary in the first four chapters to give a solid background on her life and her virtues and what she does for us, and then moved into some of the approved apparitions, and then I wove compelling two stories, we might get to that, throughout, and ended it with lots of wonderful prayers and an afterword about my own unexpected journey of hope that happened to me during the writing of the book when my brother died unexpectedly. And so I have that in there, but how, you know, how our Lord just sustains us, gives us so much strength and hope and courage and everything else.
Well, I think it's really apropos because we are in this Jubilee year of hope. We're in this time of Pentecost.
Yes.
And sometimes we might think that, oh, you know, if once I become confirmed or I become Catholic or I get baptized in the Holy Spirit or I have a second Pentecost in my life, and then everything's going to just be wrapped up in a bow and there'll be never a trial or never a tribulation, never a sorrow. Right. But that's not our journey, right?
Jesus.
And the journey is with our Blessed Mother, as you so detail in the book. And so even though it is a Jubilee year of hope, there are so many people that are hopeless, right?
Exactly. So many people are hopeless. And, you know, we'll probably get into the ministry a little bit of the apostolate, but I'll just say now, a lot of people who come to me through the ministry, through what has happened when everything started, which I'll get to, and then with EWTN and my appearances and all the books, people come to me on the brink of suicide. They want to end their lives. Some of the people that wanted my prayers or wanted a word of encouragement or something, and I didn't, you know, necessarily feel equipped, but I prayed, and you know, I would suggest counseling if they needed it. But to be there, to be that friend, to be that person that could give God's love to them. So, yes, so many people are hopeless. And in the world, wow, you know, are we going to hell in a handbasket? That's why we need Mary, right? She helps us so much. But there's so much hopelessness in the world and bombardment on a regular basis, you know, toward us, the darkened culture, and so much more. That we have to be kind of like that beacon of hope, you know, nourish ourselves with Jesus in the Eucharist to have that strength, bring Mother Mary beside us in our lives, and she perfects our prayers, and be that beacon of hope, because in complete strangers you meet along the way, you know, if you can be kind to them and loving, you'll see that tear form in the corner of their eye, and they know they could trust you, and then they tell you, my books are filled with these stories of these encounters. Of God, you know, imparting his hope, of Holy Mary working through her sacramental of the miraculous medal, or, you know, we'll get into that probably later.
That's great.
So
I'm hearing why you wrote this book, Our Life, Our Sweetness, and Our Hope. I mean, you're unpacking some of that. And this book is excellent even beyond the Year of Hope.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's to help with this Jubilee Year of Hope and beyond. So it's talking about, you know, Mary's life, what she teaches us, you know, what she asks of us, and sharing stories of hope to help the pilgrims on the journey. We're all pilgrims in this life, trying to get to heaven, but not just trying to get there by the skin of our teeth, by the grace of God and Mary's help, to be bringing countless souls with us, right?
I guess it's the Pope that gave that phrase, right? Pope Francis, Pilgrims of Hope.
Yes, because in his bull, and I have that in the introduction, I quoted from him. I love what he said.
Yeah, I like the word pilgrim, because it's kind of like, go ahead.
I'm sorry, and he said we should all be singers of hope. We should be singing hope. You know, like Pope John Paul II said, you know, we should be Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Pope Francis mentioned in his bull, which I have in here, how we should be singers of hope. You know, if we're not hopeful ourselves, we can't really pass that on to others. And how are we going to be hopeful ourselves unless we're nourished by the bread of life and invite Mary into our lives and learn from the saints, right?
And when we are singing, things chemically happen different in our bodies. So it is good to sing. It is good to, you know, and ask the Lord to say, Lord, put a song in my heart. Give me a song to sing this day.
That's good.
You know? And so that, you know, and it might be something from Mass, or there might be something, you might read something. That happens to us a lot, and we'll be doing our daily reading, usually from the Psalms, and back in the day, there's a charismatic connection to that, and then we'll start singing that song all throughout the course of the day. But it's the fruit, because it changes you. It changes who we are as a people, and hopefully it's going to change the effective witness that we have.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So why Mary now? Why Mary now?
Yes, because like I mentioned before, are we going to hell in a handbasket? You know, the way things are disguised and, you know, the techniques and the tactics of the evil one trying to make everything, oh, this is great, you know, you can do any of this stuff. There's no hell, there's no consequence for sin. Just feel good, be good to people, that kind of thing. So our world really, well, we always needed Mary. We always needed Mary. In fact, St. Louis de Montfort said we need to get to know Mary more so that we can get to know Jesus more, mm-hmm. because she leads us to Jesus, and that Jesus is not known enough. So he was convinced that when we get to know Mary more about her life, about her virtues, that we'll get to know Jesus more. But yes, I just believe that in our day and time, there's just so much going on in the world. And I don't want to say it's getting worse and worse, because I don't want to sound like a bearer of doom and gloom or something like that. But we are bombarded, and there is so much going on that's not right. So we need Mary as our hope. We need Mary as our protection. She crushes the head of the serpent, right? Mm-hmm. And she is powerful. Her rosary is powerful. And so, yes. you know, she can help us on this precarious yeah. journey, this mm-hmm. precarious yeah. pilgrimage.
You know, as we speak, you know, I think about solid Catholics that might be watching, those that aren't quite as solid, evangelicals, other people, and it's like, well, there's so much Mary here.
You yeah.
know, like, what is this about? Mm-hmm. This is a takeaway from Jesus. But I find that when you bring, especially evangelicals and others, and say, you know, do you understand that
yeah.
this, that phrase is a good one. Mary is the mother of hope. Like, Jesus is yes. our hope. We can all agree on that,
yes.
the evangelicals.
Yeah, yeah.
She's, but you want to say, what does it mean that Mary's the mother of hope?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right.
That she's the Theotokos, you know, the mother of God,
yes.
mother of hope. Doesn't that place her in a very special
right.
place, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, we know without a doubt salvation comes through Jesus. Mm-hmm. We know without a doubt. But Mother Mary, you know, leads the way. She perfects mm-hmm. our prayers. She, you know, comes aside us yeah. in our prayer journey. And so, you know, some people might say, well, you're putting too much focus on Mary. Yeah. Well, Pope John Paul II, Saint yeah. John Paul II, thought he might have been at one point, remember? And mm-hmm. he kind of had a talk with mm-hmm. St. Louis de Montfort mm-hmm. in his readings, and then he knew, no, I'm giving her the attention she needs because she brings me to
right.
Jesus. So if it would take hours and hours of us sitting here discussing what Mary could really do for us and why we should turn to her, but hopefully people, you know, our friends yeah. out there will learn and nourish their faith and learn more about Mary mm-hmm. so they can see how much she cares about all her
yes.
beloved children
mm-hmm.
because she was so united to Jesus in his entire mission. And at the foot of the cross, she even forgave the people as Jesus
mm-hmm.
forgave. She's totally united to Jesus,
yes.
you know, from the Annunciation, not just to the foot of the cross, but and beyond in heaven, praying for her beloved
mm-hmm.
children
Amen.
To get to heaven one day.
And you unpack all of this
yeah,
in your
yeah.
book. We're going to take a break at this point. Yeah. We're going to hold you over for the final
okay.
segment. It's Our Life, Our Sweetness, and Our Hope, Jubilee Pilgrims of Hope with Mary, the Mother of Hope. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are wrapping up our conversation with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. And Donna, why don't you tell our family all about your apostolate?
Oh, thank you very much. Well, it's, where do I start? Okay, it kind of started off in an unusual way. I was on a complete bed rest pregnancy. And mm-hmm. during that time, I knew Mother Teresa for 10 years. I'm very blessed to know her, and I've written about her, and I
yep.
spread her loving wisdom around the world. And so during that pregnancy, she gave me this blessed, miraculous medal. It
mm-hmm.
broke, so I put it in here.
It's beautiful.
And there's some relics. Part of her sari is
mm-hmm.
in there
mm-hmm.
that she wore when she died. I have relics in here.
Wow.
But she gave me that, and she said, turn to Mother Mary, and she will help you. She has helped others. She will also
mm-hmm.
help you.
Mm-hmm.
Pray this simple prayer. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be mother to me now. Not
mm-hmm.
be a mother to me now, but be mother to me now. So trust me, I prayed that prayer often. Now I'm going to try to talk fast to try to get mm-hmm. this in here. But during that pregnancy, when I was in complete bed rest with a heart condition, a pool of blood in my uterus, the doctor told me my baby was going to die. I had 3 miscarriages earlier on. And so I just had to be on bed rest and pray. I got word to Mother Teresa. She sent this and she prayed. And so I suddenly envisioned the pregnancy as a 9-month novena of prayer. It's not,
mm-hmm.
it's not just a time to
mm-hmm.
moan and groan and say, oh, morning sickness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time of preparation for
mm-hmm.
the baby, no matter what happens. And so anyway, I started writing on scraps of paper that was, so this is the beginning of my first book. So I was, and wow. Mother Teresa would end up writing the foreword to that book, prayerfully expecting a 9-month novena for mothers to be. Wow. When I became a grandmother, then I wrote one for the grandmothers, a prayer journal, and then going through. But there's so much I could say, but that, it, you know, later on I looked back and I realized, wow, that's where my books were conceived and born from, God putting me still so he could whisper to my heart. I had already been a writer and I wrote pro-life pieces and I was focusing on the family. I didn't have time to be writing books, but I was just writing them. Put them in a cardboard box, put it in the closet until the next move, wherever I moved, finally they came out. Finally, God wanted it to be a book, and so it did. It became a book, and then the others just started coming out. Mm-hmm. And so along the way, you know, I told you I knew Mother Teresa, so she was a very big part of my spiritual nourishment and formation. And Father John Hardin, servant of God, was my director and friend, my daughter's godfather. By the way, that baby is a young adult now. I don't want to leave you hanging on that. So thanks be to God, that baby is Mary Catherine, named after the Blessed Mother, and Catherine Labre for the medal. Mm-hmm. And so Mother Teresa was very much part of my life, Father John Hardin, later Father Andrew Apostoli, helping and shaping me. But God had me write the books and go out and speak. Now, the one thing that's really funny is after I wrote the first book, a priest got in touch and said, would you give a talk at our parish? And I was thinking, I thought I'm just supposed to be writing the books. You know, I didn't say that out loud, but I thought, oh, a talk? And it's so funny to think of it now because I've been doing this for years and years, thousands of presentations. And, you know, so then I realized when that priest was asking me, I felt our Lord saying, yes, this is what I'm going to have you do. I was like, okay, whatever you want, you know, and he pushes us forth out of our comfort zones, you know, to do, to and to pray, you know, for everything we need to do it. So that's how that started, where I was going. And then I noticed my first talk, there was a woman in the audience and she started sobbing. And I thought, oh no, what did I do? You know, because she was just sobbing. And I felt our Lord saying, don't worry about her. Right. I've got her. I'm taking care. I'm working on her heart. Keep it going. So it's like, whoa. And then it just, I usually don't say this, but I'm just sharing it now. Yeah. Every single place, there's always people in tears because they're so, God is working on them. Our Lady is working. So it's pretty amazing. And so this has been going on and the books and continuing. Yes. I got very involved with writing on Divine Mercy and St. Faustina. I'm considered an authority on the life of St. Faustina, contributed to the Divine Mercy Bible, just all kinds of beautiful things. That, and the Eucharist, preaching on the Eucharist during the Eucharistic revival, going around giving retreats even to military women in the Netherlands and all of. So that's God.
Thank God, and we thank God that we have you back tomorrow to unpack the book more fully, to share more about the works that you're doing. It's DonnaCooperBoyle.com. DonnaCooperBoyle.com. Go there, all the information is there. She'll be back with us again tomorrow. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and with Joy. Bye now.